Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritcha Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatam Vyasam Tato Jayam Madhirayat Nastra Preshu Vidreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavate Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtike Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 22, it's the beginning of a new chapter. There's no verse. There's some verse, but it's written in prose. So I'll just read the English, if that's all right. It's verse 1 and 2 I've been asked to speak on. So we'll see what happens. King Parikit inquired from Sukadeva Goswami, "My dear Lord, you have already affirmed the truth that the supremely powerful sun god travels around Dhruvaloka with both Dhruvaloka and Mount Sumeru on his right. Yet at the same time, the sun god faces the signs of the zodiac and keeps Sumeru and Dhruvaloka on his left. How can we reasonably accept that the sun god proceeds with Sumeru and Dhruvaloka on both his left and right simultaneously?" Okay, verse number 2. They're long Sanskrit prose, so I'll just read the translation. Srila Sukadeva Goswami clearly answered, "When a potter's wheel is moving and small ants located on that big wheel are moving within it, one can see that their motion is different from that of the wheel, because they appear sometimes on one part of the wheel and sometimes on another. Similarly, the signs and constellations with Sumeru and Dhruvaloka on their right move with the wheel of time, and the ant-like sun and other planets move with them. The sun and planets, however, are seen in different signs and constellations at different times. This indicates that their motion is different from that of the zodiac and the wheel of time itself." Srimad Bhagavatam ki. For some reason, Padmapad said, "Speak on this." And there's no purport by Srila Prabhupada. So what am I going to do? I'm at the great mercy of the Vaishnavas. I feel like we've been to the top of the mountain. You know, we went to the top of the mountain hearing about Radharani in the last 6 or 7 days. And reached a crest, you know. Many wonderful speakers, sannyasis, many Thakurs, many pandits. And like many different subjis that come out on the plate with rice and, you know, get sak, you get a shukta, you get this. A whole nice end sweet comes right at the top, right at the end, sweet chutney also comes. But then right at the end, you might, if you have some taste for that, you get some amla. You know the amla? Very bitter, very small, and you can choose, do I want to take that or not? It's very good for digestion though. So we went to the top of the mountain, so many preparations, and now we plunge back down into the material world. Bhagavatam is not the material world, but a description about the material world. But somehow, I don't know, there's still some breezes coming. Some breezes coming from Vrindavan side. Isn't it? Some Malayan breezes are blowing. And very wonderful. Sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, sometimes Gaura Leela, sometimes Radha Krishna Leela is coming in. If you were here yesterday, it was like two waves, isn't it? A wave sloshes across in front of Gorni Thai Panchatattva. And you go into the mood of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Panchatattva, and then the wave goes back. And then we're in front of Radha Krishna Astashakis. Sometimes Vrindavan, sometimes Mayapur. Back again. And we've been hearing in the past times of Srimati Radharani, same. So I'm just going to have to speak but whatever comes out, because this topic, I don't know anything about sun, other than I chant some Gayatri, some respect to the sun. I also know Srimati Radharani worships the sun god. Isn't it? She worships the sun god. He's usually golden, but underneath you scratch a little bit and he's blue. So I know that she worships sun god. We also worship Surya Narayan and Gayatri, very powerful. And I also know in the Holy Dham, Arkadeva is not ordinary sun. It's not just a standard sun going across. Everything in the Dham, by the mercy of great devotees, I heard, this is Arkadeva. It's a form of supreme person. So it's not like Australian sun or New Zealand. So sun here is also something special. We're hearing some more things about sun. But I wanted to discuss a little bit more about these Vaikuntha breezes about Radharani, because they were so sweet and so nectarian. It opened the heart, isn't it? Heart, steel heart. A devotee likes to soften the heart. Hearing Bhagavatam, five angas of bhakti, isn't it? Living in a holy place, worshipping the deity, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna, and five different angas, sadhu sangha, then the heart should become soft. One softness is described as being the softness of butter. Very soft. A heart. The goal of being a devotee is to get the heart soft. So somehow these days that come past, the festivals come past, and it's like the sky opens up. Excuse me. All that cloud disappears. And from that heavens and beyond, from beyond even the seven layers of the one mustard seed that we're inside, beyond seven different layers of earth, water, fire, ether, so many kilometers, and right through, piercing right through, comes from the spiritual world, one sunny and beautiful day, and we hear about Srimati Radharani or Krishna Janmastan, Krishna Radha's. So yesterday was like that, isn't it? But still some clouds is there, it's coming back down, somehow it still opens up and some parts is coming through. Sun is still there, some are still thinking about the dance, some are still thinking about the prasad, some have still got the remnants inside. So the cloud is still there. So you know, when you go into the valleys of the Himalayas, sometimes you see, you can see the mountain, or you can't. It's covered in cloud, completely covered. And then sometimes it opens up a little bit, just a little bit, and it's veiled in some mist, right? Veiled in some mist. And you just see some very secretive little place, some part, some side of the mountain, some snow, you might see some glacier poking through. And if you're walking up that valley and your destination is to reach that mountain, it's very enticing. And then it gets covered. Ooh, it's gone. And then you think, oh, you know. And then some days, Himalayas, they're out. The mountains are out. Fine and clear. You can see everything. You can see the pink sun rising on the top, you know. You can see with so much clarity. So days like Radhastami, that's what happens. And speakers, they begin speaking on, a level of tattva, on understanding from the point of view of Aishvarya. They broke open the chest with their jnana, their knowledge. And then towards the end of the speaking, sometimes they move into touch on a little rasa, some little story, nectar stories about Srimati Radharani. The mountain's covered, and then all of a sudden they start to discuss like that. But sometimes on these days we can also see the mountain fully. And that's the Prayojan. This is a Gaudiya Siddhanta Prayojan Tattva. We have to see where we are going, and we have to develop a desire in our heart to want to go there. So when we see the mountain in full, then we can see where we want to go, we can develop a desire to go there, and we can see the path we have to take to go there. So I thought, we've been in Vrindavan, and now I want to discuss a little bit about Lochan Das Thakur. He wrote a book called Chaitanya Mangala, and it's described, where to after Radhakund? Where to after Vrindavan? Where does one go? Any ideas? Gauranga! Jnanivas Prabhu says, Gauranga! Gauranga! Isn't it? Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is writing, then he writes Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it doesn't end in Vrindavan, even though we read Radhakund is the higher place. We hear about Srimati Radharani creating Mayapur, then the wave comes back across to the Mayapur side. What is that? What is that difference? What is the difference between Vrindavan and Mayapur? It's described, these two qualities are there, Madhurya and Urdhaya. Madhurya means the sweetness, and Urdhaya means the magnanimity. Sweetness and magnanimity. So Krishna and his name are non-different, Nam and Nami. Nami is Krishna, Nam is his name. Vrindavan and Krishna and his name, Mayapur. So in both cases, the latter is sweeter. The name is sweeter than Krishna, that's described. Mayapur also is described to be more sweet. Inconceivable thing. Inconceivable thing, because Radha Krishna, Vrindavan side is described to be more in the pastimes of Samboga. Mayapur described to be more in Vipralam, separation. And yet somehow separation is the sweeter mood. So what is the essence of that Urdhaya? Rupa Goswami, he discusses that actually that principle of Urdhayam, Urdhaya means, according to Rupa Goswami, that magnanimity which drives you to give away even yourself. That degree of generosity which wishes you to, you have a desire to give away even yourself. So this is the mood of Srimati Radharani in Mayapur. She's got taken the form, or Chaitanya, Krishna has stolen her form. In the mood of separation, Vipralama, the fire of separation. Then Krishna, like melted wax, he's entered her heart and stolen the bhav. He's stolen Radha bhav. He's stolen that, and he's run away with that. And as Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he's now giving it out freely. You take, you take, you take, you take. He's stolen the topmost paramatattva, prayojan bhav. He's stolen Radha Krishna's secret emotion, and he's saying, he's taking it all over the world. So when Narad Muni comes to Dwarka, he sees Rukmini has just been with Krishna, and she's having some, well, Krishna is just coming to her house, and this is according to the Chaitanya Mangal. So Krishna is coming to her palace, and she's preparing very nicely, cleaning, putting some flowers around, scenting, putting full water pots at the door, nice smelling substances, nice things to look at. And she's in the mood, oh, Krishna is coming. This is Purvarag. A mood of separation before lovers meet is Purvarag. She's anticipating Krishna will come. And he's been with Satchabhama. Satchabhama is a form known to be by Rupa Goswami in Vidagdha Madhava. This is Lalita Madhava, given as Srimati Radharani. Of course, she lives in a forest. Rukmini won't even have her in the palace. Some jealousy is coming up. Rukmini means Chandravali in Dwapara Lila. She doesn't have her in the palace. He makes her stay in the forest. Okay, she's a Brajabasi in essence. So she stays in the forest, but she knows with jealous anger how much that Krishna is attracted to the love of Satchabhama. And she tells Krishna, even she brings up the mood with Krishna, oh, you're missing some taste. There's some taste you're not tasting in me alone. And in the forest, there's a deity made of Krishna, made of Chintamani stone. There's a beautiful deity made of Krishna. And sometimes Satchabhama and separation in the mood of New Vrindavan, New Vrindavan, she's worshipping that deity. And sometimes Krishna is very smart. He comes and the deity is like apparently motionless, and then Krishna takes the form of the deity. And Satchabhama is coming to do her worship of the deity. She comes up very close, apparently deity form, and Krishna's in that form. So in different ways, Satchabhama enjoys with Krishna in the forest. Rukmini knows this taste is there for Krishna, so she's lamenting, I can't give you that taste. What is that taste? What is that taste? And she describes, I know that you like this bhav of Srimati Radharani, Radha bhav. I know you're always hankering for the gopi. Sometimes in your sleep, you wake up and you're saying, gopi, 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 gopi. Sometimes hankering like that way. What is this? You're married to me. You're married to 16,108 queens. In your night, in your dreams, you're saying the name of the gopis of Vrindavan. So she knows something else is there. At that particular time, Narad Muni arrives. Surprise, surprise. The transcendental, this is where it fits into this verse. He's a transcendental spaceman, Narad Muni. So he arrives there and he starts, they greet him, they wash his feet, Rukmini fans him. He's the greatest among sages, Narad Muni. But he has some lamentation in his heart. He's saying, how will the people of this age be delivered? How will they get deliverance in this age of Kali? They become very fallen. The men are interested in the ladies alone, women of this world, interested in their pastimes with male and female. So much consumption of mentality, of body, mind, words is taken up in the world of the sex energy. So Narad Muni is lamenting, how will the people of this age Kali be delivered? And he's explaining to Krishna his lamentation. And this is an amazing point that comes up in this Chaitanya Mangala. Then Lord Krishna, who's listening, he starts to hear. And of course, he's also possessed with this mood of giving out, because in his previous incarnation, he became indebted to the gopis of Vrindavan. He has a debt. If you have a debt in this world, if you're a man and you have your debt and you die, your sons take on that debt. Fire, debt, and disease, Chanakya Pandit says. You have to take care of them immediately. So Krishna has a debt. Krishna, a debt? What is that debt? The debt to the gopis of Vrindavan. He called them out in the middle of the night. They had to break their patidharma with the husband. Not had to. They were driven. The sound of his flute entered inside. If you hear the sound of Krishna's flute, if it enters inside your heart and it steals your heart, and then runs away, what are you going to do? I hear this interesting story. One Brahmin, his older, just had prasadam, and his dhoti's a little loose. Not tied up, probably slackened the knot. Someone comes into the temple and steals the hundi, picks up the donation box, and gone, runs away. That Brahman just had prasadam, he's sitting in the corner, he's close, cloth's a little loose, he's feeling a little full. All of a sudden, the hundi's been stolen. So he gets up, no one else is there, he starts to run after the thief. When something's stolen, you forget about this world. So when the gopis of Vrindavan, like them, when Krishna stole the heart, they run towards Krishna. Sometimes they're not even here, as one braid is there, one braid is not there. Sometimes they're putting clothes on the right place, the wrong place. This Brahmin, his dhoti started to fall off, he's hanging on, limping along. So this greed, when Krishna steals your heart. So gopis of Vrindavan, when Krishna played the flute, he steals the heart. So like that, Krishna's listening to Narad Muni, his compassion for the world, and he manifests. This is an interesting, the first time I've read about the darshan, he manifests a form of Gauranga. Because Narad Muni is asking, how will the people be delivered? So Krishna's been listening to Rukmini, hearing about what is this Gopi Bhav. She's telling him, you need to catch this Radha Bhav. And Krishna's stolen it. And his debt is, he calls the gopis out in the middle of the night. That's a pretty big debt. They give up their families, they give up their village reputation, they give up their pati dharma, they give up their lokik dharma, the worldly dharma, they give up everything. They're forced to being called kalinkaris, prostitutes. Who can imagine? Today, what to speak of back then? If you ran off in the middle of the night. And Krishna, what happens is, that's one debt. Second debt, he tells them to go home. Okay, they come, they gave up everything. How would you like that? You give up something for everybody, even the principle of guru, if you give up everything. And then he tells you, go home. Follow Dharma. They've come to the higher level, even beyond Dharma, Artha, Kam, Moksh. They've come to the level of Prem, and Krishna's telling him to go back to the ABC. He's telling him to go home. What are you doing here? Second debt. But the debt is because they don't get moved by that. They remain constant. Their steadiness, their intelligence remain fixed. They remain equipoised. So that's a second debt. Then third debt is described that the cowherd girls of Vrindavan, Krishna has a debt to them because they are able, like milkmaids, to milk the ecstasy. The cow represents ecstasy. And they're milking the essence of ecstasy. They're able to bring Krishna to the highest level of satisfaction, the highest level of pleasure by their interaction with the gopi. So that's a debt. Then fourth debt, he has a debt because that debt is there because he reciprocates with the gopis of Vrindavan as one Krishna, and in as many gopis of Vrindavan. So as one personality, they're all giving him themselves fully, their hearts fully. Srila Prabhupada, he describes the gopis of Vrindavan, they're very full in their devotional service. They reach the summum bonum of devotional service. Very full means they see Krishna everywhere. They think of Krishna inside their heart, and Krishna comes to them in dreams. What does that mean? That means they see Krishna as the super soul. They see him as the all-pervading Brahman. They see him as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, fully realized. They see him everywhere. That's one level. Then they see him inside the heart, super soul in the heart, Antajami Krishna. Then they also get his full-on Sakshat Darshan. They get him in dreams, they get him in the Raslila, they have full association with him. So they're fully realized, fully blossomed. So those debts Krishna has. So when Krishna's hearing Narad Muni speak about this world and how will people be delivered, then he manifests this beautiful golden form of Gauranga. And Narad Muni takes the darshan of Gauranga. And the thing about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is his qualities? His qualities is described to be humility. He's very humble, isn't it? With Prakashananda Sarasvati in Varanasi, that challenging. I mean, you're a sannyasi Thakur, you should be learning about scriptures, you should be studying the scriptures like that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sits down amongst the shoes very humbly, he's very humble, and he manifests an effulgence of 10,000 suns. Extremely humble. And he says, the conversation is, my spiritual master says, I have no qualities. And I should just stick to this process of chanting. You know, they're saying, you're just chanting and dancing. This is a madman. You should be studying. Gyan, you should be learning knowledge. This is sannyasi's business. And he says, I have no knowledge. I'm not so qualified. My spiritual master said, just to chant the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is manifesting this form before the Narad Muni, and Narad Muni just goes into a swoon. He hikes up his dhoti, means he lifts up his dhoti. He falls down on the floor, he goes into a trance. No one has been seen Gauranga Mahaprabhu before. And Gauranga tells him, now you have to go everywhere in the universe. This much I know about the planets. So he begins his journey. He goes to Namasharanya and he sees Uddhava. First one he sees is Uddhava and Namasharanya. This is very special, considered the hub. The hub, you can go to that place and get into a kund which spins around. The hub of the universe, Namasharanya. So Narad Muni goes there and he's having a conversation with Uddhava. And Uddhava starts to discuss with him, and Kali Yuga thing is very dark. But Vyasadeva came here, he wrote from here, but he was feeling very despondent. He also, even he'd been through all the different scriptures, so much knowledge. He'd studied all, he'd actually delivered all different sutras, all different shastra written, Ganesha's writing. But still he was despondent. So Uddhava was bringing up that despondency. And of course we know, until he speaks Bhagavatam, until he speaks Krishna Leela, until he speaks Rajakatha, the stories about Vrindavan Krishna, then he won't feel fully satisfied. Anyway, the story goes on. Narad Muni goes from place to place. He's able to travel, transcendental spaceman. So from there he goes to Kailash. And when he goes to Mount Kailash, he meets Shiva and Parvati. Of course, they also have the greatest reverence for him. And there he begins to discuss some pastime with them. And they bring up, do you remember this Vishnu Katyayani Samvad? Vishnu Katyayani Samvad means one time, we know the story, it's famous. I won't go into too much detail. But Narad Muni gets after 12 years, he gets the Mahaprasadam from Vishnu, Lakshmi. Some way or another, she gets Narad Muni the prasad. After 12 years of endeavoring, she gets the prasadam. And on that, he takes of that, he partakes of the prasadam. If we get prasadam, isn't it? Three things, the dust of the Vaishnavas, the prasadam, isn't it? What's the third? Water washing the feet, isn't it? So he takes that prasadam, and of course, he dances in ecstasy. When Narad Muni dances in ecstasy, it's described, he pulls up his dhoti, hikes it up, and he dances so ecstatically that his brother, Lord Shiva, because they come from Lord Brahma, his brother becomes fascinated. Oh, what got into you? They inquire. They find out that he took some Vishnu's prasad. It's a well-known story. And he says, you're my brother, you didn't give any to me. What about me? I never got anything. I never got any of that prasad. You know, sometimes we get some transcendental envy, isn't it? Matsarya comes up. Oh, he's got something. He got a gulab. Tamal Krishna Maharaj one time snatched a gulab, isn't it? No, he had one snatched from his plate. Somebody got the remnants of a gulab. And he had it sitting on the plate. And that devotee took it. And he complained to Prabhupada, hey, he took my remnants of your plate. And Prabhupada said, very intelligent. Very intelligent. If you get a chance, isn't it? One time I got some Mahaprasadam, a very senior devotee. Somehow I was, you know, secretly you got to get it sometimes. I got that very secret way, somehow cheating. And I tied it up on my cloth. Tied it up. I should have just eaten it straight away, but I tied it up in the cloth. Then later on I carried on soothing that devotee. That had even gone inside. Even been inside the mouth of a great Vaishnava, isn't it? Anyway, they rejected that. So anyway, my dhoti somehow when I was serving come undone. And on the floor, this Mahaprasad little trail, you know. Oh, what's that? Oh. If you can get that, isn't it? This is the mood of Srimati Radharani. She gets the tambula from Krishna that's already been chewed. Krishna chews the tambula, betel nut, with different spices wrapped up in the palm leaf. You know? Then she gets the remnants of Krishna. This is the essence of that. So Shiva, he didn't get the prasad. He can dance. Oh, when he dances, whole world can tremble. Whole world can come to a finish, isn't it? He's Nataraj. Any Bharat Natyam dancer, they put forms of Ganesh or Lord Shiva, they dance. So he danced in such a way that the whole, according to this Chaitanya Mangal, he's dancing on the heads of Anantasesha, because there is the earth, all the planets, all the universe is sitting on the head of Anantasesha. And Anantasesha, when Lord Shiva's dancing, his head goes down, his head goes down. Shiva's dancing on top, like Krishna dancing on Kali. His head goes right down, right at the bottom of the universe. And there's Komar, tortoise incarnation. Mandara Mountain is spinning on the top. So Komar's there, and his Anantasesha's head's bowed right down to the bottom of the universe, and Komar puts his head out. Has a look, hey. Has a look. What happened to you? Whole universe is about to be destroyed. And then, of course, Katyayani, Parvati Devi, she sees, oh, what got into my Prabhu? What happened to him? Of course, she finds out, to keep the story short, she finds out that he took prasad of remnants. Narad Muni ended up giving him a little grain, stopped Shiva from destroying the universe. He took a little bit of prasadam. Shiva got a tiny remnant, just a tiny remnant was enough. Something they found on his cloth or something. He took that prasadam, and he too was dancing. And Parvati saw and thought, whoa, what got into these boys? And she's inquiring about her husband, you know. Then she found out he took prasad. So I have some experience because I've been married. If you go to the Sunday feast and your wife doesn't go, and you get prasadam and she asks you to get a plate, she won't eat the tumble from your mouth. She won't eat what you've chewed. In this world, it doesn't take the wives long to find out their husbands aren't Krishna, isn't it? Very short time, 1 year, 2 years, maybe 1 month, 2 months, they find out, oh, he's not Krishna. I won't take the remnants so closely. Unless, of course, you're Indian. Anyway, so she was thinking, I never got something at the Sunday feast. My wife, she got really angry one time, never got anything from the Sunday feast. Whoa. So she never got any remnants from Vishnu. So she, when she dances, she's very powerful also. She can dance every step that Lord Shiva dances. Every step, even better. Except one time, he put his leg up, took the earring out, flicked it on the floor, dancing Natyam. Then, can you do this? Then you pick up the earring, put it back in your ear with your foot. She could also do, but she didn't do, because she's chaste, lady, chastity. This is the strength of lady. She didn't do, but she could. So she danced in such a way. Well, if she wants to become Durga or Kali, if she wants to dance in front of us in this material world, if Maya wants to dance in such a way, we're completely bewildered, isn't it? Especially on the Purusha side. You get bewildered. But it's described, if you go into some situation where female is dancing, yeah, prostitute situation where there's some cheap club, but if you're a member of the family, if you're an uncle, or if you're a member of the family, what to speak of, and you know that Lady, she can't dance anymore. If we know who is Durga, who is Kali, she's expanding from the toenails of Srimati Radharani. And if she comes specifically to bewilder us. So when you know who she is, when you understand who the feminine tattva is, who Shakti tattva is, when you understand she can't dance anymore, if it's a family member, when you know her, otherwise she can dance and bewilder us. Anyway, the story goes on that Vishnu becomes attracted. Oh, what's going on? What pastime is this going on? And then Vishnu comes and he gives the benediction, or she requests from him, I want everybody in this world to get your remnants. Even the dogs, hogs and jackals. There was one sadhu in Vrindavan. Have you ever read this? He served the dogs. Huh? Everybody was laughing. We'll serve the dogs. No, he set down mats, places for the dogs to sit. And he put out a sign, service, you know, putting up feasts. You know, yesterday we could go to the Goshala, you could go to the school, you could go to the gutter building, wherever you like. So he put up, let it known, get it known around the dogs, I'm serving prasadam. Everybody laughed at him. But when the time came to serve the prasadam, all the dogs were there lined up. They took prasad. Even the hogs, dogs and jackals, they get this prasad. And again, when Vishnu starts, this is a story. So again, when Vishnu starts telling Katyayani, he starts telling Parvati about, yes, I'll fulfill this. Then he remembers one pastime. When the churning of the milk ocean was going on, Mandara Mountain was being churned, many things came out. So one thing that came out was the Kalpa Vriksh, the tree, Kalpa Vriksha, desire tree. Desire means you sit under that tree, whatever your desire will manifest. Kamadinu cow, you can get as much milk. Chintamani stone, like that. So Kalpa Vriksh. There's some on the way to the Goshala. One Vatazir, our good friend Padmalochan Prabhu. Yesterday we hugged that tree and I was thinking about him. Every day you could go past very early in the morning and Padmalochan Prabhu would be, got his head up against this tree. No wonder he left us. He must have been praying something. So under that banyan tree, this Kalpa Vriksh. So out from the churning of the mountain came a Kalpa Vriksh. And it's described that inside that Kalpa Vriksh tree, inside the Kalpa Vriksh tree was what? Anyone know this is in this Chaitanya Mangala? Apart from Janani Vas. Chaitanya Mangal, inside the Kalpa Vriksh tree, Vishnu was saying was, hey, Gauranga! Kalpa Vriksh tree means anything you desire. You have to be very careful in Mayapur. Especially if you're chanting Gayatri. Chanting Gayatri in Mayapur. What do you speak of chanting Gayatri in Mayapur inside of Ganga? Whatever you're thinking of, be careful. If they keep it on the rails. Otherwise, Krishna, he'll fulfill your desires. He fulfill your desires in such a way, though he's very merciful, that they won't come again. The desires will disappear. So, you have to be very careful. Anyway, so Vishnu shows that inside the Kalpa Vriksha tree is Lord Gauranga. Then by this time, Narad Muni is becoming totally drunken. He's becoming like, you know, they have this Madhupan Leela, Krishna Leela, where they drink and everybody starts slurring the words. And anyway, Narad Muni is starting to fall back, and then he runs forward and his dhoti's, you know, he's complete. This is the second time. You know, if you're a blacksmith and you put the iron in the fire, you put it in once, it gets very red. Then you grind it up, the bellows, you put it in again, it gets very red. So he's seen second time darshan, once in Dwarka. Then Vishnu shows him in this Katyayani Samvada story between Vishnu and Parvati. Vishnu comes, he sees again darshan. Well, he goes on to tell the pastime, he sees another time, so three times. So he's becoming totally intoxicated. So Krishna comes in this form of Gauranga, paying back the debt to the gopis. He comes back and this is Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he's the most magnanimous, he's the most munificent, he's the most merciful, Adbhut. Adbhut Odaya, Adbhut Karunaya, Adbhut Vadanaya. The most merciful, he's the most munificent, he's the most magnanimous. This is the magnanimity, this is the Odaya principle. And this is the principle that conquers Krishna's heart. So as devotees, you know, we have this opportunity to serve in the mood of helping Krishna repay his debt. So if you get involved with these pastimes of giving prasadam, of giving the holy name freely to anybody, then just see how much your heart will become soft. Isn't it? I asked Guru Sahib Mataji, what's it like to be back in Mayapur? Sorry, no. She was a little bit, you know, I thought, usually devotees say, oh, it's ecstatic, Prabhu, you know. She was a little bit, you know, a little bit reserved, and I thought, what's going on, you know? And she started talking about, you know, what it is in the West. You know. Oh, if you get some laddu in Mayapur, you know, from the plate of Radha Madhav, you know, Janani Vas, gives, you manage to find something, or, you know, get something, some nectar, but, you know, if you taste the laddu from going to the Western countries, uncivilized countries, where the hogs, dogs, camels and asses are, and you're able to give, then the heart becomes extremely soft. So she said, I have a taste, there's a taste of some taste, you know, in Switzerland there's nobody there. Nobody's giving out the mercy. I went to New Zealand and I was thinking, well, very difficult. But if you find some one person and share with them Krishna consciousness, I would give them in the mood of Srimati Radharani. She fills your heart with so much of her ladini bhav, so much of her pleasure, potency, that Krishna himself becomes attracted to you. If you want Krishna to become attracted to you, then get involved in giving or daya. This principle is higher than sweetness. Yesterday, I went to the airport night before last. I picked up one friend of mine. I was in the mountains having a retreat, and I stayed in a cottage for 1 month. And one lady living close by, she became interested. What am I doing here? She saw me shaved. Anyway, I invited her to Mayapur. So she flew from that place. And the first day she'd ever been in India, the first time ever in Mayapur, I took her before Radha Madhav and held her there and said, have a look at this. Have a look at the Pushpa Abhishek. We went round, we were forced in a tube, you know, by all the Bengalis, you know. Forced around, you know, we were looking over the shoulder, being carried by all these Bengali Matajis, squeezed and squashed. And she saw the Abhishek, she saw the juice Abhishek. She said, oh, that's something interesting. And she saw the Pushpa Abhishek, you know, all the flowers. I said, we have to come back. So she was sweating like anything. I said, come back. So we came back, we saw the flowers, you know. She'd never seen anything like that before in her life. First day in India, we came on the taxi on Radhastami morning. I said, come along, let's go and have a look. What's going on in here? Took her inside. Well, yesterday her eyes were, you know. My God. Somehow, isn't it? We've got to give. Somehow, did you get the mercy? Did some devotee do that for you? Some devotee did that for me. I was in Varanasi. And all these Indian people, when I was a young man, I was something like 18 years old, 1972, I came to India, somehow wandering along the banks of the Ganges, and all these devotees were having a Ram Katha, and they were chanting Ram's Nam, Jai Sri Ram. So they pulled me in, grabbed the Videshi, oh, here's something different, grabbed the white boy, bring him inside. And they took me up on the stage and they gave me a megaphone, a big old, you know, in those days it was a big megaphone. And they were chanting, Jai Sri Ram. So they gave me the megaphone, you know. You chant, Jai Sri Ram, Jai Sri Ram. So I started chanting, Jai Sri Ram, Jai Sri Ram. And then hundreds of people going, Jai Sri Ram. I did it again, and there was this big explosion of people. Jai Sri Ram! Jai Sri Ram! Thousands of people, you know, hundreds of people anyway. I said, well, what is that about? You know? Then I thought, Jai Sri Ram, when I sing, oh, you know, it's still a Christian a little bit. And I thought, JC meant Jesus Christ Ram. Jai Sri Ram! Anyway, from there I got numb. They gave me numb. Krishna's name. Got Krishna's name. Somehow, just a lowly being, you know, I got the name. Then I got Darshan of Kashi Vishwanath. From there I went to Amarnath. I had so many years journeying with Lord Shiva in Himalayas. I wasn't so pure. This Tirtha to that Tirtha, you know, all over looking Shiva Tirthas, looking Shakti Tirthas, hundreds of Tirthas. Then all around India looking at all different Tirthas. Naam, Roop, Guna, Leela. You know, Naam, Roop, we got the form, you know. Well, you know, Radha Madhav. You know, as much as, you know, the Pujaris and they, you know, they tell us this is Aishvarya worship, you know. Radha Madhav, yes, very nice Aishvarya, but you know, Radhastami seemed to, you know, the Aishvarya went out the window, it seems. Something respect was there, but you know, when the sweetness, when the mood of holy name, when the mood of Ordaya comes, then this Aishvarya Bhav, this majesty of Krishna as God, even with us ordinary Vaishnavas in this world, it goes out the window. The sweetness comes up that, you know, even the men who are trying to be Purushas. So much as we're stuck in the male body, male conditioning, we're trying to enjoy family life, we're trying to enjoy our work, we're trying to get power, profit, adoration, and distinction, pratishta. You see the men, we're standing back, we're not really dancing, but then after some time the name, it loosens and softens the heart up so much, so much so that the men, they lose their Purusha Bhav, and they start to, yeah, some even take on a feminine type of aspect dancing. Yeah. Yeah. It's described, there's one, I want to finish by reading something. There's a very interesting, quite high tattva, but Prabhupada said we could read this God brother of his, if I can find, just to finish with some philosophy. This is written by a godbrother, Srila Prabhupada. I don't know if this is his initiate. His name was Y. Jagannatham. Krishna's flute call and the jiva's duty. Prabhupada gave the devotees some sanction. They could read what he wrote. So here's what he says. I'm better old. I have to put on some chasma. So it behooves you, my son, to forthwith regulate your physical and mental life, and to keep them under strict discipline by the complete and unconditional abjuration of all sexual activities and bickerings, present and prospective. If you are ready to make this sacrifice, you will realize the true nature of amorous love, by which alone Krishna can be properly served, and will be eligible for the medicine referred to above, which is ever handy. In other words, we can't hear the name of Krishna's flute. You won't hear the name of Krishna's flute. He won't go inside our heart. He won't be able to steal our heart if we have a Purusha mood, if we have an enjoying propensity. We have to give up this idea of I'm the enjoyer. You will then be blessed with the hearing of Krishna's flute, which is none other than the spontaneous realization of the overpowering and maddening attraction of Krishna, the only master and male of the transcendental realm. This ravishing flute call instantaneously removes your male disposition and develops within you an irresistible femininity of the soul and an equally irresistible hankering. After the association of sadhus who have tasted the supreme parakiya ras of spiritual consorthood, but you should not delude yourselves of thinking that you have no more to do within this world. In other words, we have a bhajan form. We have a swarup deha, And we have our siddhaka deha, sadhaka deha. Sarup deha means we have a form that Krishna is going to award us when we're qualified. So we practice our internal life in that way. But externally in this world, we have to remain dutiful and chaste to our duties. So it goes on to say, don't be deluded and think you have nothing more to do with this world or its various interests. Your feminine submissiveness with its characteristics of guilelessness, selflessness, and complete cessation of mundane sex idea is in relation to your beloved Lord, Sri Krishna. Whatever service is rendered in this direction is a strictly confidential service rendered by your soul to Krishna, its custodian. In this inner attitude, you can afford to be more heroic than the more of a match for any of the so-called males of mundane nomenclature. In other words, you have to carry out your duty in this world, like as a father, as a husband. Even you may be cultivating this paramour love with Krishna, and the femininity of your siddha roop may be awakened, but still one has to carry out his duty in this world as a sadhaka. One has to like that. You can be more than a match for the males of this world, even though you're cultivating love of God, like a paramour lover. A skilled workman, an erudite scholar, an unfailing friend, an ardent fighter for liberty and justice, an uncompromising moralist, and a host of other things. Also, you can afford to be and yet figure as a most feminine soul, always in the ecstatic communion with Krishna and consecrating all your activities in his loving service. This duplicity of life and this apparent insincerity in the eternal contact of the self-realized person, which is none other than Parakiya Bhav, is an eternal puzzle for a man in the common run of life. Prabhupada, he tells how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was instructing Sanatana Goswami how one should conduct his business in this world. That was, you do your business like a married lady, one who's in the formality of marriage, but she's cultivating a mood of a lover, a paramour lover. She's cultivating that mood. In other words, we carry out all our duties in this world, but internally, as our Krishna consciousness awakens and the heart becomes soft by sadhana practice, then more and more our mind becomes drawn to the other world. Sometimes, I'll just share with you one funny thing, last thing. Sometimes I see my family members, or in particular the one where marriage is there, I see her dressing up, you know, for Radha Madhav and come to the dance of Radha Madhav, you know. After years in married life, you know, we experience so many different emotions, families and producing of families, and so many different leelas that go on in grihastha life. Then at some particular point, when you see your partner develop a love that's so strong, you know, for Krishna, that they start to dress up not for you or for the family or for the society, but start to dress for Krishna and start to have you see in their heart some desire. I'm running off like a paramour lover. No more cooking. Well, not so much. You know, when I say that, I mean, you know, okay, the special days, I can just take off. And even I won't come home early. Disappear sometime. If you're dancing with Radha Madhav, we looked last night on the internet, even Janani was up late. Dancing with Radha Madhav, you know, on Radharani's appearance day. Sometimes if you've experienced that, you might experience your wife starts to get a taste quite a long time ago when she discovers you're not Krishna for Krishna, and she starts to develop her relationship with Krishna. Isn't it? We should also seek that. We should also seek this drive to give up mundane loving affairs in this world gradually and fully. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi. Thank you very much for listening. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.